Afternoon. Today, my talk is about pre-processing and reduction for degenerate semi-definite programming. By that, I mean semi-definite programs that fail status conditions. So this is a joint work with Henry and Simon, who was a former postdoc in University of Waterloo. Okay. And so this talk will be about semi-definite program and interior point methods. So usually people would try to apply interior point methods to solve SDP, and interior point methods usually assumes Slater's condition to hold so that you have interior point in your feasible regions. Hence the name interior point methods. And however, like in a lot of applications, instances, because of the special structure in the problem class, they usually Slater's condition actually fail. And the lack of Slater's CQ can result in a number of unpleasant situations. For example, you have unbounded dual solution set, and also you have you may run into numerical difficulties, especially in instances where you don't actually have a zero duality gap. And so today I will be talking about how to deal with instances where Slater's condition fails. And we would start out with the theoretical facial reduction. We'll give an outline of what this theoretical facial reduction algorithm does. And it actually goes back to early 80s due to John Bollein and Henry. And we'll talk about how to actually implement it and to get a smaller regularized problem. And we'll also mention the fact that if the facial reduction step required is only one, then it's actually backwards stable. Okay. So the talk will be of two parts. First, we'll talk about the theory, and then we'll go through the actual algorithm. So by a semi-definite programming problem, we mean a dual pair like this. This is the usual primal that people look at, and I call it dual here. So we start out with the set of n by n symmetric matrices, and so it will be denoted by Sn, and Sn plus denotes the subset of a positive semi-definite matrix, and Sn plus plus is the subset of a positive definite matrix. Okay, and we have three. We'll have C, the symmetric matrix, a vector n vector B, and a linear map A from the set of n by n symmetric matrix C's to Rm. Okay, and denote the adjoint by A star. And then we also have a Kung ordering induced by the PSD Kung. And so we'll have this dual problem here, trying to minimize the inner product of the Frobenius inner product of C and X. That is simply the sum of all the entry-wise product of the two matrices C and X. So you can think of it as the vector product, but if you stack up the columns of the matrix C and X, and you want to minimize this linear functional subject to some equality constraints, and the constraint that X has to be positive semi-definite. Okay. And the dual, the primal, we'll call this, people usually call it a dual, but we'll call it primal here, is simply given by this problem. Okay. And I'll denote the primal feasible region by FP and dual feasible region by FD for the primal and dual slacks. And throughout the talk, I will assume that my linear map A is onto, and also the problem is feasible. The primal problem is feasible. And I will be talking about whether the primal satisfies Slater's condition or not. So So, I mean, if P is not feasible to start with, there is not much to talk about. So. Okay. So, by Slater CQ, we simply mean that Slater's condition for the primal, we simply mean that there exists a point y hat such that the primal feasible slack corresponding to y hat is positive definite. And the reason why we would be interested in Slater's condition is that if it is, it holds for the primal, and if the optimal value of primal is bounded from above, then there will be a so-called zero duality gap. That is, this primal and dual, they have the same optimal value. Okay, and also the optimal value for the dual would be attained. Okay, so it is all nice, but when Slater's condition doesn't hold, there would be several canonical types of bad things that could happen in the case of SGP, including non-attainment of optimal values, positive duality gap, infinite duality gap, etc. Okay. And for to deal with problems where Slater's condition fails, we need to apply some pre-processing technique. And to talk about the techniques we'll be using, we first have to introduce the notion of phase of cone. So it is a very basic concept in complex analysis. So say you have a cone K and a subset F of K that is also a convex cone. We call F a phase of K if whenever you have two points in the larger cone K and the sum lies in your phase, then the two endpoints of the interval contain, well, the two points X and Y is also in F. Okay? And a proper phase is simply a phase that is not a cone itself. And for the case of positive semi-definite cone, the phases are very nice. All the phases are of this form. So they are simply some columns of an orthogonal matrix times like kind of conjugate to a smaller PSD cone. So the phases of a PSD cone is kind of has a kind of a self-similarity. So they're like smaller replica of the bigger PSD cone. Okay. And by primal minimal phase, we simply mean the smallest phase in the PSD cone that contains our primal feasible slacks. And similarly, for the dual minimal phase, we simply mean the smallest phase of the PSD cone containing the dual feasible slack. And the reason why we are interested in minimal phase is a very crucial tool for regularizing problems that fail later CQ. The reason is if you have a feasible point, the primal feasible point, it has to lie in this smaller subset, the phase, the minimal phase of the primal minimal phase. So that's the first reason. It means that your feasible region to start out with, the primal constraint was that this guy lies in the PSD cone of n by n matrices. But actually, it could be that the real feasible region is a bit smaller. Okay. Moreover, this smaller set has explicit expression too. And just one small remark: Slater CQ holds means that your minimal phase is the entire cone. So that means that if I say that Slater's condition fails, you're lying on some proper phase of the PSD cone. And that also means that you don't need to deal with that many variables. It's some smaller n bar times n bar plus 1 over 2 variables. Okay. So with the notion of a minimal phase, The primal problem is actually equivalent to the regularized SDP, where the objective is the same, but instead of requiring C minus A star Y lying in Sn plus, you only need to require that it lies in a smaller set, the minimal primal minimal phase. Okay. And the Lagrangian dual would be given by this. And so everything is the same except the cone constraint. So here, the cone constraint, instead of requiring that x being n by n positive semi-definite, you actually allow x to lie in a bigger set, because the FP is smaller, the dual is going to be larger. And with this regularized dual, you will have strong duality. So the duality gap will be zero, and also the dual problem will attain optimality. Okay. And okay, so we can even write out this problem explicitly, because we remember that this minimal phase FP can be expressed explicitly in this form, right? So we can write out a primal in this way. We require that this guy is positive semi-definite. Now this matrix is a smaller matrix. And we also require that some equalities to hold. Okay. So this would be the, it's just some really basic algebra, and you can get this regularized primal problem. And if you're at the minimal phase, then generalized Slater CQ should hold. That is, so you can find the y-hat such that this smaller matrix is actually positive definite, and also the equality constraints are satisfied. And so now the question is, how do you find a minimal phase, right? It's actually very difficult. I don't know if it's possible to find a minimal phase right away in a general FDP. And so what one can do is to do it iteratively, to try to find a smaller phase and try to narrow down until you hit the final minimal phase. And to do it iteratively, we would use so-called theorem of the alternative for this Slater's condition. Okay, so we assume that the primal is feasible. Then Slater's, the alternative for Slater's CQ is as follows. Slater's CQ would hold if and only if this linear system has a trivial solution. It can only have a trivial solution. Okay. And so that's kind of so if you go and try to solve this system, and if you're able to find the B that is non-zero and solve that satisfy all the criteria, then it means that Slater CQ fails. Okay. And so suppose you are able to find such a B, okay, then it means that for all the feasible slack, the Frobenius inner product with this solution D star is going to be zero. Okay, so it means that the primal feasible slack is going to lie in the intersection of Sn plus and D star perp. And this D star perp can give you the information of the smaller phase, but you can get it simply by performing spectral decomposition of D star. Okay. If you find out what the null space of D star is, then it means that the primal feasible flag have to be of this form. P transpose is that P is being zero, and the only non-trivial part is Q transpose is that Q. Okay. So it means that the feasible region is going to lie in this smaller set, this subset of Sn plus. Okay. So now we know a more compact expression for the feasible region. We can rewrite the primal into equivalent forms. The primal will be equivalent to require that for all the effect, you only need Q transpose effect Q to be positive semi-definite, not the whole thing. But then you also need that effect satisfies this equality constraint. So that's the first form. Or you simply project everything onto the smaller face by using a substitution. You can use a linear map P for all the y such that this guy satisfies this equality, like this y has to be of this form P times form V. Okay, so you can rewrite this bunch of constraints into a single Kohn constraint. So that's basically a substitution. And so we can that's how we get a smaller SVP. And you can keep doing it until Slater's constraint is satisfied. Okay. And in general, this method applies not only to SVP, but for general Kohn-Lick problem, as Henry and John showed in the 80s. And another thing is the number of iterations that you need to arrive at a problem that satisfies Slater's CQ is not necessarily one. It means that this problem might not be your final problem. You might need to keep doing it. But you can only do at most n minus one times. Okay, so now the question is how do you find the B that satisfies these conditions, right? So we will rewrite this system using a linear map ACD. Okay, we simply stack up AD and the inner product C and D. Okay, and we want to find the B that solves this system. And in order to find the B that solves this system, we pose it as another SDP. So we require that this vector, instead of forcing this vector to be zero, we just want the norm to be less than or equal to delta, and we try to minimize delta. Okay, and we also try to enforce the two constraints, D being positive semi-definite and D being non-zero. So this is kind of a normalizing constraint here. Okay, and we will call this auxiliary problem. And the auxiliary problem and the dual both satisfy Slater's CQ. So according to the theory that we have, the strong duality, interior point method should be able to solve the AP okay. And the information we get from this optimization problem can tell us whether Slater's CQ holds or not. So if the delta star the optimal solution is zero, then it simply means that the solution D star satisfies this constraint, this criteria. So that would mean that later CQ fails. And if delta star is greater than zero, then later CQ holds. Okay. So the auxiliary problem can give us some information about later CQ. And this auxiliary problem can do more than that. After solving the auxiliary problem, and say you do get delta star being zero, you can do a spectral decomposition on the D star. Say you get spectral decomposition, you get this. You can use some Donnell space information and reformulate your, and you can rewrite the SDP, original SDP into this equivalent problem, which is smaller in size because you're working with n bar by n bar symmetric matrices. And so the auxiliary problem has practical values in, like, you can actually use it to implementation reduction. And if it's even more than that, So if you solve the AP, and if the AP has gives you a strictly complementary pair of optimal solutions, then you know that the smaller problem that you arrive at is going to satisfy Slater's condition. And this, the converse is also true. And so it actually, the interesting thing is that, as I mentioned, AP and the dual would satisfy, would always be feasible, right? So if you consider the special instance where the SGP is actually an LP, then we know that both the LP, then the auxiliary problem and the dual, they're always feasible, right? So we know from Goldman-Tucker theorem that that would always be a strictly complementary optimal primal solution, primal dual solution pair. So it means that in particular, if you apply apply facial reduction on LP pair, then you always only need one iteration. So in that sense, it indicates that LP is a much simpler class than SGP, because LP always only requires one iteration, whereas SGP, we do have that instance where you do need up to n minus 1 steps of facial reduction. Okay, so I'll just outline the facial reduction algorithm, what it concretely does. And so it would iteratively reduce the original problem to a equivalent smaller problem, and it requires at most n minus 1 iterations. And given input A, B, and C, the first thing you do is you try to solve the auxiliary problem. If delta star is greater than 0, then you stop. And so you certify that the Slater CQ holds for A, B, and C. And otherwise, delta star being 0, then you check whether D star is positive definite or not. If it's positive definite, then you know that you also stop, because there will be a unique solution to this equation, and it has to be optimal. And otherwise, you can use the special decomposition to obtain a smaller problem, and then you update your A star. And so you basically use the null space of B star to collect the problem into a smaller dimension. And you keep doing it until the A, B, and C satisfies later, the SGP corresponding to A, B, and C satisfies later's condition. Okay. Yeah, it's okay so far? Yeah, okay. Okay, so I will talk about the backward stability. We would make some assumptions. So let's say we solve the auxiliary problem, right? And we get delta star d star. And delta star, say, is very close to 0. But you know that numerically, you can never be sure that you'll get 0, right? Because of all round-off errors, etc. And you get so say you get a pair like this, and you're like, okay, delta star is close enough to 0. I would just assume it's 0. What if it is not, right? Like, and we want to know that if delta star is the true delta star is very close but not 0, you're still not like screwing things up. So that's what I'm trying to show here. So say you get this pair, and D star has this spectral decomposition. So instead of 0, I just say, okay, this block is something very close to 0, okay? And also I suppose that the range of Q transpose and range of A star is not 0. So this is a technical requirement, just so that I can reduce my problem to the smaller space. And so the two results here I want to state is the following. So say you get a smaller problem, right, and you find a feasible solution V. And I would want to know that the distance of V to the original feasible region is small in some sense. That is, that V is like I'm not like distorting my feasible region too much by going into a smaller space. So to be concrete, what I mean here is that if I get a solution that is feasible for the smaller problem, then I can find a solution Y that is feasible to the original problem, such that the norm of this guy is not too big in a relative sense. It would be less than equal to some psi times the norm of the visible slack for the original problem. And so this would depend on AC and also D star. And the thing that makes it small is this alpha AC here. And alpha AC is simply a delta star divided by sigma mean of either A or AC, depending on whether C is in the range of A star or not. Okay. And so in that sense, so we know that the mean, the smaller problem is not too far from the original problem in that sense. And if the facial reductions that are required to get a problem that satisfies later is only one, then we have a converse result in the following sense. Suppose you have a feasible solution Y for the original problem, then there should be then the distance of Y to the reduced feasible region should be small in the following sense. Okay, so first I will assume that in the reduced problem, I have a point that satisfies latest condition. And so that is delta star, delta 2 star is not going to be too small. It's significantly non-zero. Then for any y feasible for the original problem, I just do a shift here for technical reason. There would be a V that is feasible for the smaller problem such that the distance between Y and PV basically pulls the smaller solution back to the original space, basically. So the distance between Y and PV is going to be not too small in this relative sense. So this guy is basically is relatively close to it shouldn't be too small because of this two guys here. And what makes it small is this guy here. And it's similar to the side we saw just now, and there is also this same alpha AC here. And there is this sigma mean of this operator here that just comes up in the computation. So what the message I want to give here is simply it would be some factor times a very small number here, and how small it is would depend on the delta star that you get from the auxiliary problem. Okay, so I will mention some numerical results. We compare the computational performance on two different sets of data, and we use Sadumi in both cases. So the first set of data, the first set of input, they are specially generated test problems, and they are all small and nice, and only with ones or zeros in the matrix A. And the second set is the second set of results is based on randomly generated data, and this set of randomly generated data, they all, the primal dual pair, they all have positive duality gap, which is something solvers cannot really deal with, and at least theoretically. And also, for this randomly generated instance, the primal optimal value is always zero. Okay. So for the first set of problems, I'm not going to give explicit like A, B, and C what they are, but like the problems are quite small, most of them. And sometimes, like, for example, if we look at example 4, if we apply where there is an infeasible dual, after facial reduction, we can get the optimal value, but if we don't apply facial reduction, we actually cannot handle it. And these instances here, by the way, are the worst case scenario for facial reduction, where like see the number of iterations required would be n minus 1. That is, you need 99 facial reductions to solve this instance. And that's not very interesting. Like these are the more interesting instances with positive duality gap. And so we see like for a fish, if we don't use spatial reduction to solve the SGP, Actually, sometimes Sadumi can solve it too. It seems it can get kind of close to zero, but most of the time it just couldn't handle because of the positive duality gap. And with spatial reduction, because we will finally arrive at the primal dual pair that have zero duality gap and satisfy strong duality, we are able to solve these instances after performing facial reduction. And by the way, after facial reduction, we just solve the same smaller instance using Sadumi too. And so the conclusion is, the facial reduction that I'm proposing here is a general algorithm for SDP. And it provides the minimal representations of data to regularize P. We locate the minimal phase SP and we solve the problem on there. And if you are solving more specific class of problem from application, say some kind of protein problem, for example. In protein problems, there are a lot of they have a lot of NP-hard problems that people would try to consider. Instead of the original IP, they would consider the SDP relaxation. And all these problem classes, they usually have special structure. And you can see in literature, sometimes people just apply try to solve those problems directly using Sadumi whatever, right? But they don't really look into the problem structure. And I don't know how they obtain the numerical results, but if you look into the special structure of the problem, you can actually identify the minimal phase for those problems, and you can actually exploit the structure in a more specific sense, and so you can solve the problem faster, and you can also ensure numerical stability. So I think that's one thing that people should be aware of. And for future, we like to see if we can extend it to more general conic problems, and also we would like to study how the facial reduction algorithm can be applied on problems where Slater's condition almost fail. It can be some sort of regularization technique to handle such a situation. So that's the end of the talk. Thanks.